know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. This is Karen Hubbard. I'm your host here for Hidden Places. And before I go any further, I have to remind you that you are listening to WCNO Palm City. For whatever reason, the station ID did not play in between that last song and the opening to the program. So we just want to welcome you today and just thank you for joining us. Just want to say thank you to all our listeners, those that have been joining us every week and letting us know your comments and sending us nice little notes and all kinds of stuff. It's really great, and just completely appreciate it. And, you know, my desire in this program is that you will receive something from the Lord. You know, that whatever we're talking about, that you will receive encouragement and strength and direction, and that you'll hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not what Karen's saying, not what Deanne is saying, not what Nanette's saying, but you will hear what the Spirit of God is saying through each and every one of us. So I want to welcome Nanette today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Same here. It's been a while.
I know. We didn't see you last week because you were doing something.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that what that something was.
Your daughter's birthday.
She's probably listening too. I do apologize.
Yeah, well, anyway, welcome back. We just really appreciate you being here. So we do have a special guest with us today and someone who I've known for probably like 10 years or so, a little bit more than 10 years. And, you know, let me just say what my sense is about my friend, that he is somewhat of a developer. You know, my husband's been in construction all the while that I've known him, and he worked for developers. He was, you know, the developer lays out the plans, and my husband would be the one to set up the schedules and coordinate everything with the contractors. But he worked for the developer, so he knew exactly what the developer wanted, and he was there to execute the plans of the developer. So, you know, so with my friend here, I just see in the spiritual realm that he is a developer. And he's, you know, his gifting allows him to see what God wants to do. And he's able to execute, you know, that with scripture and with training. And to be able to, I'll just say he has spoken into my life for 10 years. And, you know, as he's processing things and as the Lord is showing him things, he's sharing those things with me. And it's like, oh, okay, that's what that is. And he's, you know, very good with explaining doctrinal things and revelatory things in a way that I haven't heard anybody do. You know, and each of us are gifted in certain areas. And so I just want to say that he is one who raises up those who are gifted in the prophetic, and he helps to encourage and teach them to rise where their gifting is, and so that they can use their giftings and they can operate in that. You know, a lot of times, well, as prophetic people, I know for myself, you know, I always felt lost because I would see things and I would kind of understand things, but I wasn't receiving any teaching about that until this brother came along and began to help me to see things, you know, and how things were patterned and how they fit together in the Word, the way that God has designed them. So I just want to introduce my friend, Sean O'Hay. And Sean, God bless you, and thank you for being here today.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to be able to serve God with family members, as we're all sons in Christ. And, you know, we just always want to give thanks, glory, and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who always had great ideas in equipping others, you know, so that there would be a real instruction, a real demonstration, a real experience in the relationship with God, so that as we make assessments, we come to the place where we understand that there is growth and development for the purpose of, let's call it, direction. And, you know, the Lord really, he always laid out a plan. He was a real navigator. So as we look to the future with hope, we can come to the place that we could never bring ourselves, because it's truly a work of his empowering grace supernaturally.
Amen. And his grace, his mercy, and everything that he offers to us is available and helped through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us.
That was such a great introduction. I hope everybody got that.
I do have it on tape. And it was recorded. So
replay, go to the archives.
Right. Yeah. So we'll talk about the scripture that the Lord gave me a little bit. But yes, about Sean. And Nanette, you've met him recently, mm-hmm. you know, over the last year or so, and I'm sure that you can attest to you know, there's just something when you're around prophetic people that God, in your prophetic, if you're an evangelist and you spend time around other evangelists, then there's an expansion and there's a growth and there's an impartation that comes to further help you to move ahead in your own gifting. And I think it happens with all of the fivefold ministry. If you're called to be an apostle, then you know it by the Spirit, but you need another apostle that has the anointing to come and to lead you and kind of help you along the way.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, there's really no words, but the one thing that comes to mind right away is this fathering. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have to say, oh, I'm called to be a father per se. He just has that fathering way as he speaks into your life. And he has a father's heart where, man, if you could surpass, if you can, if I can see you fulfill, mm-hmm. that's all I need. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, like our own human father, where they nurture, they encourage, they correct, they rebuke, they get you straight, but all in the presence of love. And they're just willing to just give, mm-hmm. give with nothing in return. Very few people you meet in your life that want no return. Most of the time they do want a return.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, the only words that stand out to me right now, this image of a father that does things for nothing.
Exactly.
For nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's serving the one and he's being a living sacrifice to the one and laying his life down for those that God gives him, you know.
Amen. Because he can't help himself.
No, he can't.
When there's a gifting on your life, then
it's so hard to explain him. You just have to meet him.
Amen. So, Sean, what do you have for some wise words for us this morning?
Well, when David wrote the Psalms, you know, there was a time when he was crying. And he was asking for help. We all cry. We all help. There's so many people, as always, crying, looking out for help. They need hope. But when you go to Psalm verse 40, I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. He says, I waited and waited and waited some more, patiently, knowing that God would come through for me. And it's really important, if we're ever going to provide hope for people, that we know that God is going to come through for you. He says, then at last he bent down. He listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I had fallen into. We all have something in common. We've all fallen into muddy messes. And he steadied me while I walked along his ascending path. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God, and they'll fall in love with him. And I can't say it without tears, because we really all need each other, because we're growing together. And if we look forward, you know, on this journey, on this path, under this open heaven that we live in, and atmospheres are being shifted, it's because we're really finding out that as we stand in awe of God, we're really falling in love with him.
Amen. And, you know, I was reading in John 14 this morning about, you know, when Jesus was going to send the Comforter to be with you. And that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. But in verse 28, Jesus said, so John 14, 28, Jesus said, you heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and the purpose of my life. You know, this is out of the Message Bible. When I read that this morning, it, to me, that sums up everything. If Jesus said it, then as we follow him, then we should say what he said, and we should believe what he believed. The Father is the goal and the purpose of my life. And it's all to bring us back to the Father. You know, earlier in the chapter, he's, you know, Philip was asking him, you know, show us the way, you know, show us what's going on. And Jesus was telling him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that I am in my Father and my Father is in me. Then, anyway, so the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, will help us to get to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's through him. It's through his work on the cross. It's through his sacrificial life that he lived. He laid down his life to set us free and to make that opening for us to enter into the kingdom, where we can, where our end goal is really to know the Father. And Nanette, you were just talking about that, you know, seen as a father. And, you know, when we need spiritual fathers and mothers to help us, you know, help us along in this life, to, you know, enable us to see God the Father, you know, the real love of the Father. And, you know, many people don't have that. Maybe they grew up in families that had a terrible father, or a father that was missing, or so they don't really know the example. But, you know, as believers, you know, we're able to mentor younger people and help those that never experienced it in their own lives. So in the but in the spiritual sense, you know, God gives us great fathers and mothers in the faith to really help us. I know for a lot of years, when I got saved, I felt like I was on my own. You know, once I got saved, you know, I followed the rules, I did the stuff.
Same here.
But then I just felt like, okay, so now what? Mm-hmm. You know, there was no one to come and nurture and, you know, help me to grow.
Correct.
You know,
everything.
Mm-hmm. I would go to church. Mm-hmm. I would listen to sermons. But, you know, it was just really difficult to try and understand things. And, you know, I just, I guess we have to go through that. And I think I have feel settled with the Lord that, you know, by design, you know, that happened so that I would seek him.
That's right.
And that was the sole purpose. He did not allow, not that he didn't allow me, but I felt internally that there was nobody I could talk to, is that I had to talk to God himself because I wanted him to lead me. I wanted him to show me by the Spirit.
That's right.
You know, how to live. And, you know, so that's what's been going on. And, you know, and I know back in, I don't know if it's Deuteronomy, you know, or maybe Isaiah, where the Lord says, you know, how I've led you all these years, these 40 years in the desert to test you and to see what was in your heart. You know, are you going to follow me, even mm-hmm. though you don't have people around you to help?
That's right.
Even though you don't have mothers and fathers, you know, that know Jesus, that have walked with the Lord, even though you don't have them, are you still going to follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, all of our lives are different, and he leads us all differently.
Same thing with me, you know. And my husband, we never had someone that, you know, we didn't even know the language. What's that language? Because, mm-hmm. you know, when I look at the scripture, you know, Jesus clearly says that he is your teacher, you know, your rabbi, right, your teacher, and he's father. And so when we were around, you know, several churches with this father thing or this a mentor or someone kind of above you, kind of coming, you know, alongside of you, we didn't have that. Our total dependency was on the Lord himself and then, you know, on the Holy Spirit. And so he was the one that taught us, that led us, that transformed us, really, you know, and it continues to transform us. But this beautiful, you know, going back to what you said about John 14, you know, this place where he's saying, you know, I'm in the Father, and you know, whatever you see me do is you see the Father. And I just can't, going back, I can't recall, did anyone identify God as Father prior to Jesus? You know, because if you go, right? I mean, if you go back to the scriptures, I mean, I can't recall right now, but I do need a little bit more caffeine, so forgive me. But I can't really recall, like, I'm getting this, you know, like, Jesus was the only one that made the Father mm-hmm. known. There was other names, Yahweh, you know what I mean? Like every other person prior, it was, you know, God, Yahweh, Adonai, you know, mm-hmm. All of these other names. But Jesus made the Father known. That, I don't know, that just does, every time I hear you say mm-hmm. that, and every time I hear myself, it's like, wow, that's right. Like, when he came on the earth was to make his Father known.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think half of the time he wanted to take credit for it. Am I wrong? I mean, everything was glorify him.
Yes.
Glorify him. And in this, you know, the scriptures, I know you're reading from a different version than I have right here. Currently, I have the NLT, you know, in John 14:30, you know, he says he has, okay, so it says, but I will do what the Father requires me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. It's this knowing the Father and knowing how much I love him. And that pattern, you know, like Sean was talking about, this is the pattern, this is the demonstration. I mean, Jesus was that the only way, the only truth, the only life, the person of that. And so he's saying, for me, it's like inviting me all over again. Love the Father. Love me in the Father. That's the goal. That's what truly matters. Do you love me? Because, you know, throughout scriptures, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. If you love me, you will obey. Right?
Absolutely.
And so it's just this beautiful picture. And then it says, you know, he's so kind because prior to that, in 26, he says, but when the Father sends the advocate, again, he's saying, the Father, right? Man, I'm leaving. But the Father is going to send the advocate as my representative. That is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, right? He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Man, that's security for us right there. That's a safeguard right there.
Absolutely.
That's the beautiful just protection of our God.
Right.
You know, to say he's the one who's going to teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I told you. And then he says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Even then he's bestowing this beautiful gift of peace of mind and heart. And he says, and the peace I give you is the gift of the world that cannot give you. Like, the world can't give you this. So many people are looking for peace.
Amen.
They're trying to find it in movements with their bodies, forms of exercise, other forms of meditation, places they go to, travels, food. They're trying to find all these ways of peace. And yet he said it right here. I'm leaving you with this gift, peace of mind and heart. How many today need a peace of mind and heart?
Amen. You know, I'm looking for this scripture because, you know, we were talking about seeing, because you brought out, you know, that seeing has this fathering way about him. And it just came to me that, so all these years that I've been seeking the Lord and, you know, getting to know him and having that intimate relationship with the Lord, then the Lord sends somebody along in your life to help you further move forward into what you're called to do. So, you know, over the last 10 years that I've known seeing that, but, you know, there's just been this wonderful articulation of, you know, the will of God in my life. So, you know, it's like he's coming along beside and, you know, I heard him explain before that a prophet is one who sees what's up ahead. So he equated it to, like, if you're at Disney and you're on the ride that drives you through the jungle, you know, then a prophet simply, you know, I like pictures and stories. So he would say a prophet simply, you know, as you're going along, he's got the microphone and he said, okay, folks, over here, here's a little hippopotamus, you know, and all he does is point things out, you know, as you're going along the way. And so I can say that, you know, that's how it's been, you know, with knowing him and spending time with him, that he has helped me. Just, you know, not directly pointing out, but just by virtue of what he's talking about, it's like, oh, well, that's, you know, in my prayer time, that's what I was praying about.
That's it.
So the Lord uses him to confirm and to give direction to the thing that the Lord is talking to me about. And anyway, it's a very cool thing.
You know, and, you know, keep in mind, there's different stages of growth. So for myself, I'd like to be able to really go past the tour guide stage of pointing things out and coming to a place where we really begin to write up the blueprints, the prophetic blueprints and the yes. plans of God, so that the apostolic can really put it together and assemble. You know, and it does take a dismantling of the kingdom of darkness. And, you know, if people just stay in the Word of God, read the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 3 says, Ephesians 3, 1, whereby when you read, you may understand my mystery in the knowledge of Christ that wasn't made known in the past, but is now being made known by God's apostles and prophets. And there's something about the marriage of the apostolic and the prophetic, you know, in full force to bring forth these mysteries by revelation, because, you know, throughout time and history, these revelations have never been hidden from us, but they are hidden within us. They're the part of the treasure that is within us to be revealed at an appointed time. And as these things are revealed, the kingdom of God is being made manifest.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
People go through their whole life, though, not really knowing the plan of God for their life, because they simply won't pray and they simply won't read the Word of God. It's so important to read, because when you read, you get understanding, and understanding is supernatural when it comes by the Spirit. So what a lot of people end up doing, you know, they go through a life of heartache, but, you know, we can save them time, effort, and money, you know, and they won't have to go through heartache if they just start reading the Word of God and praying every single day. I just want to read a verse from the Passion Translation, because when I read this, I just fell into a place for humanity where, you know, you look at people sometimes and you say, don't they get it? And the truth is, they don't get it. And they don't get it because they don't have an ongoing relationship with God. But listen to what Proverbs 20, verse 30 says. When you are punished severely, you learn your lesson well. For painful experiences do wonders to change your life. Now, that is not God's best. But thank God, you know, you don't have to go to jail to be punished. But how many people day in and day out are just punished? They're living out of purpose instead of in purpose, on purpose, you know, and they're just miserable. Well, they're being punished severely because they haven't learned their lesson, and the lesson is, forget not the Lord your God. So, you know, if you read the Word of God, you'll receive revelation. He will reveal himself to you, you know, and then he wants to reveal himself through you, so that you minister life to people just by doing, you know, what his word says.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the message, it's terrible. The Message Bible says a good thrashing purges evil. It was so brutal sometimes. A good thrashing. Oh, sometimes we need that, you know, a little knock upside the head. Punishment goes deep within us. Yeah. But, you know, the Lord is so gracious to always. Sometimes you just need to be shook to wake up. And I know I've had many of those over my lifetime.
Oh, yes.
You know, because you're just trudging along and you're just doing whatever. And then it's like, bam, you know, something hits you and you're like, what the heck?
Yes.
Where am I at? And then, you know, it causes you to stop. Well, you know, like the Israelites in the Old Testament, which is not unlike everybody's life. You know, you follow God, everything's good, you're, you know, going great, got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, da-da-da-da-da. And then you forget. And then you stop reading the Word, and then you stop hanging out with your believer friends, and you stop getting encouragement, and you drift away. And then you're drifting out to sea for who knows how long, and then you're going to get that thrashing or that knocked upside the head to get you back.
That's why it's always good to have a dietitian in the family, because, you know, your diet is really important. And, you know, sometimes you have to change your diet. Your diet isn't just what you eat, but what you watch, who you listen to, who you hang around with. You know, you feed your soul, not just your stomach. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's take a quick break, And we will be back. Let me make sure I get this thing set up correctly. Still getting used to the new system. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
We're back, and again, we have our special guest, our friend C. Nohay, here, and so Nanette, go ahead with whatever thought you had.
Well, yeah, you know, when we were on our quick break, I was just sharing with you guys that on my drive here, you know, well, this morning I woke up, and this song, and I always say it's a song that he's singing over me when I wake up in the morning, because it just I wake up in the morning and I'll hear a song, and again the song was "He's the only one found worthy," and so I just kept singing it to him. "You're the only one found worthy. You're the only one from beginning to the end. You know, you're the only one found worthy," and I'm in that place. Anyway, so I have to grab my Bible and everything and get into the car and get going and drive, make my drive up here. And I said, well, I'm just going to have the song then playing this time around so I can just quiet myself as the song, you know, is playing. And all of a sudden I get this image of Abraham and Isaac in that place, in that place of the mountain, you know, where he is being called by God to sacrifice his son, right? Isaac. And so immediately when I get this image, what comes to mind right away is particularly two generations, okay? And so, I'm sorry, audience, just go with me here. This is having zeal for revelation, not necessarily zeal for knowledge. So go with me here. So I see this two generations. So I said, Father, what are you saying here? He's like, these two generations have to come together. Abraham and Isaac. Two generations have to come together, right? And so how does this look like? Is it older, younger? Are you saying the older generation with the younger? Like, how old was Isaac, really? You know, because some scholars say Isaac was somewhat of an adult, mm-hmm. you know? And Abraham, oh gosh, he was up there. Mm-hmm. But I go to the scriptures right away, because this is what you do, right? You go and you get in the Word. And Genesis 21, begins, and it says in 22, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. Here's this word again, right? What do we really love? Like, do we love God more than anyone, anything, right? And go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. And the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped up wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Now we know, the logos word, the context, Isaac represents Jesus, like that whole sacrifice, the third day, that whole preparing us for what's to come, right? But it says, on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey. Abraham told the servants, and the boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come back. Even though Abraham knows what's going to take place, He's speaking. He's saying, we will worship.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham already knows that's a form of worship, to be willing to sacrifice. To be willing to sacrifice. And even now, sacrifice his son as a burnt offering to the Lord. And he's calling it worship. He's saying, we will worship there. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. And so, of course, we know that some scholars believe that Isaac had an inclination, like, oh, wait a minute, something's going on. Maybe the Lord was preparing him. Who knows? Others say he was totally ignorant, not knowing what's going on. Where are we going? What are we actually doing? Is he not saying something? And so, overall, it's like, even today, in this moment, whether it be today for myself, for any one of us, for someone who's listening, it's like, this is a time to lay it in the altar. This is the time to bring the sacrifice. What are you holding so dear that's not worth letting go? Are you willing to let that go? And then not only is that this willing to offer, this willing to sacrifice, right? Give it to God. But there's also a testing of faith, because we started with with 22 saying, God tested Abraham's faith. So sacrifice and faith. So I don't know who I'm talking to. But I feel like it's also for me too. Like, are we willing to sacrifice whatever it is that the Lord, our God, is saying to sacrifice? And are we willing to move in that kind of faith? And the faith that Abraham was moving in was knowing who his God was. So he knew God was going to provide that lamb.
Mm-hmm.
God was going to provide that lamb. And the ram was in the bush, we later see. But he was willing to go all the way, no matter what. But Abraham knew his God. Do we know our God? Do we know our God? Are we willing to go to the very end, whether he decides yay or nay? But are we? He's willing to do it. He's like, okay. But he knew some way, somehow, Isaac was going to live. some way, somehow, that lamb was going to show up. Before or after? Who knows?
Right.
But sacrifice and faith. We're living in this hour where we have to be willing to sacrifice.
Well, it's almost,
have that faith.
Yeah, it's as if, well, you know, last week I was talking about, Lord, lift me up to higher ground. You know, it's like, I'm done here, so lift me up so that I'm able to stand in a greater degree of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that it always means a testing,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's always a test that goes along with it. But when you have the willingness, as Abraham did, hey, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you step up so that you can operate in that higher place in the Lord. And
they were both willing. Think about it. Why doesn't it say in scriptures, like, Isaac was moving around like, Dad, get me out of here. I mean, right. I don't know. It could, I don't know. I know in the versions that I've, the translations and the many Bibles I've read, doesn't tell me that, doesn't say that Isaac was fighting, that Isaac was running away, coming off. There was something unexplainable took place there. Something, it's like Isaac looking at his father's eyes, his father looking at his eyes and saying, we can do, this is how we honor our God. So it's going back to these two generations. Like, what are the, our two generations, us maybe in the younger generation, maybe us in the older year, where is it that we have to come together on that place, in that altar? I don't know. I'm sorry, we're thinking out loud here. We're breaking it. We're digesting the word of the Lord right now. So bear with us, please. Do not judge us. We're just thinking this through. He's giving this fresh revelation right now. And we need room for it. But I pray that whatever is coming out of my mouth, even if it's not, you know, push me aside. Hear what the Lord is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Hear by the Spirit what he's saying to us, to you. But there's something there. Does anyone of you?
Well, you know, the Lord said, all things are possible to them that believe. And, you know, your spiritual reputation is really based on how you know God. And if Peter tells us, you know, he says, you were called by his glory and virtue. So the glory of God is the eternal life on the inside of you. The virtue is the expression of that life. But all things are possible to them that believe. You know, to believe is to really live it. And you have to live by faith in him, in Christ Jesus. And the scripture tells us grace and peace is multiplied to us, or grace and peace is abounding towards us, exploding toward us. Just yeah. Think about it. Grace and peace. Everything he did for you, everything he continues to do for you, in that he keeps bringing you to the place you can't bring yourself to do for you what you could never do on your own when you're living it because you believe it. And that's a place all in of itself. It's a place where he imparts a revealing, a self-revealing of who he really is in you, to you, and through you. And when that begins to really happen in a believer's life, it's the place of saturation. It's the place where you go past the veil of the flesh into the spirit realm of his glory to live a life that honestly glorifies and honors him in all that you say and all that you do. Because the cost, it doesn't cost you anything except to believe, to walk in faith.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'm still there, guys, in the, with Abraham and Isaac.
With Abraham and Isaac.
There's always a ram in the thicket, isn't there?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so, you know, is the Lord, as you were saying, Annette, is the Lord asking you, you know, our listeners, myself, seeing, you know, what are we holding on to that we need to lay down?
Mm-hmm.
to really sacrifice in order to move ahead in the Lord and to experience faith that you haven't had before. You know, I remember a few years ago, I kind of had a picture of these people sitting in a church. It was like, there was probably like 400 chairs in this church. And I was looking, and the people are all sitting upright. It was almost like the Stepford Wives, you know. I mean, it's not that, but you can just see people just sitting there real stiff, and everybody was the same. They all looked the same, and they were all older, you know, boomers and older. And each one of them was holding like a 2-foot piece of log, like a tree that had been cut down. And each, and they were all sitting there, and they all had the same size of this dead tree limb sitting in their laps. And, you know, I just asked the Lord, what is that about? And, over time, over the period of 3 years, he showed me three separate things that he said, it's my church is sitting there, and that the logs represent something that these people are holding on to. Maybe it was a previous move of God. Maybe it was something awesome that God did in their life. Mm. Maybe it was, it could have been a good thing that happened. It could have been a bad thing. But they cut the tree down and they camped out and they're still holding on to it. And, the Lord wants them to put that into the wood pile so that he can set it on fire. Mm-hmm. And only when you're willing to let go of that thing, it's good or bad. It can be good or bad. I was a product of the Brownsville Revival. That's what, you know, brought me back to the Lord after being backslidden for several years. It was through that ministry, and that was observing it from afar and, you know, just reading about it. But that was the thing that brought me back to the Lord, where I was able to completely surrender everything. I laid down everything at that time. And, you know, so it's like I all this time, you know, this 20-something years ago, but all this time, the Lord is bringing me in and drawing me forward. And, you know, I'll be darned if I leave this earth without really accomplishing what God wants me to do. And so I'm ever seeking, ever looking to walk in that place. And, you know, so if you're hanging on to a previous move of God, like I didn't camp out there at the Brownsville Revival. I grew, and matured and, you know, went into different places, different churches, whatever. I just was so hungry for God that, you know, he provided places for me, like streams in the desert. You know, he's here, go to this church, go to this meeting. And those were all things along the way that helped bring me to where I am today. And then now I'm looking forward to going up to higher ground and going even further than I've been so far. And I guess maybe the Lord's saying, don't camp out, sacrifice that thing.
And, thus saith the Lord, why pitch a tent while I'm building a house?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, you know, and even as you're talking, I'm recalling the fact that was even Abraham prophesying? Because he tells his son, he says, you know, when his son is asking him, you know, when he says, we have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? And he says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. You know, for me, I feel like, wow, he's prophesying right mm-hmm. now. He's saying, so let's just say if Abraham is symbolic for a generation right now, right? And Isaac is symbolic of another generation. Mm-hmm. He's prophesying, and so Isaac, again, I'm sorry, guys, I'm just digesting this. I can't leave this alone. But overall, they're both yielded. They're both yes. yielding mm-hmm. to the purpose of God. They're both right there on that rock, on that altar, willing to yield. Isaac is willing to yield his life. And gosh, Abraham is ready to kill it. I mean, you know, like, he's willing to sacrifice it. So, I invite you guys to go into Genesis 22, sit there. And if you get any new nuggets, please share with us. Hidden Treasures, email us or just share it. Just because, I would love to hear what people have to say.
Just remember, though, that leaders are always tested at every stage of their growth. Mm-hmm. Testing is real. Mm-hmm. And testing really proves what you're really made out of.
Amen. That's right.
That's why it says, count it all joy when you fall in the divers temptations, knowing the trying of your faith mm-hmm. works endurance. Mm-hmm. So at every stage, you know, of growth, when you're tested, it's for your endurance, mm-hmm. growing up into him into all things. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to pass the test.
To pass the test. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Testing always precedes what? Promotion.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to jump out there on this. It may be completely unrelated, but yesterday, this is what I got from the Lord. So Brandon Lake and Jelly Roll have been coming up on my Instagram feed. I don't follow either of them. But, and all I know is that on American Idol, you know, that Jelly Roll and Brandon Lake did that song, the Hallelujah, whatever song that is. And like in the spirit, what I saw was Brandon Lake is a strong believer, and he's becoming very, very well known, you know, very quickly. You know, he's rising to the top. Hmm. But what I saw in the spirit, so Jelly Roll is, all I know, he was in prison, and then he got released in prison, had drug problems, alcohol problems, and all that. So when he heard Brandon Lake's song, that was the thing that kind of made him want to turn back to the Lord. And then, so it was like I don't know how it happened, but it seemed like it just happened over the last several months. So they ended up collaborating on the song, I guess. Maybe Brandon Lake did the song himself, and then Jelly Roll wanted to be involved in it. So anyway, he had this big stadium where Jelly Roll was performing the song. Brandon Lake was not there. Hmm. And so what I saw was, oh my word, that this guy is being transformed in front of the world, you know, coming back to Christ and being transformed. But it was Brandon Lake who reached in. He reached in to, he didn't like hide from him. He reached in. But anyway, in the spirit, so I see that Brandon Lake, the strength of Brandon Lake in the Lord, you know, we need to pray for him. But whereas the church, we used to say, oh, come out from among them. Brandon has gone in among them and bringing the truth of God into that arena, into that place where people had never heard the gospel. And now Jelly Roll is essentially preaching the gospel, and many people are being set free. I think he's given altar calls, but anyway, I'm just saying that. So these two things, what you're talking about, Nanette. Yes. So I see these two things happening in the spirit, that the church, it's like I essentially see Brandon Lake is taking back that territory from the enemy, and one by one they're going to start coming out, and anyway, they're going to be led forth by the Lord. I just wanted to throw that out there, that that was just something that, where the Lord used to tell us, come out from among them. The Lord, he's like, no, go, I compel you to go bring them in. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, like this very, very, very one-pager book, Jude, before Revelation, It says towards the end, and this is the call for those remaining faithful, right? It says, but you, in number 20, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And then it says, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering.
Hallelujah.
So we show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Right? We don't judge them. It says rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. And it says show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution. Because, you know, he's saying show mercy to still others. Now, this particular group, but do so with great caution, okay? Hating the sins that contaminate their lives. And that's what I want to pray for Brandon right now, that he will carefully move in that mercy, right, towards this person. He will do so in great caution, but he will hate the sin that contaminates their lives.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so that little book in Jude is very, very important. I've been in it for a week, and I wanted to share it with my friends here, and it didn't go through, but that's okay. It will eventually, we'll talk about it in private. But yeah, in that end, that call right there, that is so important. And so many of us are forgetting to do that. So many of us are judging right now, mm-hmm. are complaining about others, are critiquing about others. No, there's no time for that right now.
That's right. Got to build one another up.
There's time to do that. Mm-hmm.
Scene, you have any final thoughts? We've got about a minute and a half.
Real promotion always requires sacrifice, and Jesus Christ provided the greatest sacrifice that was ever given. But when we come to the communion table, remember, he said, as often as you do this, you do show forth my death until I come again. And his death really represents what our life is to be all about throughout all time and eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we got to stop for today, but thanks, Sean, for coming by. We hope you come back whenever you can.
Thank you. And along with you, we love everybody.
Amen. All right. God bless everyone, and we will see you next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.